people to kiss me then.
Thank you. Please take a seat. Thank you. I don't even remember that, Ben, but that was a profound moment. I love it. That's great. Glad to have been of service. Hello, Hope Point. Hello, Hope Point. Thank you. Just want to make sure you're awake out there. It's a little bit dark, so I can't tell if you doze off or not. Always great to be here. I love coming to this church. I love the spirit of this church. And I believe that God wants to do something here that's unfulfilled. And I like what Ben was speaking about before, that 90,000 people who live in the area. Can I ask you tonight, is anything too hard for the Lord? Do you believe that God's planted you instrumentally to on the outskirts of the city to make an impact? You cannot shake a rug from the middle of the rug. You shake a rug from the outside. And here you are on the outside, here to shake the rug of Caboolture and to see transformation up here as well. I absolutely believe that. That's why I come. And also got nothing else to do. But the main reason is I come because I believe... I shouldn't say that. That my wife always, she tells me off, she said, you should think before you do your humour, she said. And I've got to do that overseas as well, because when you're in different cultures, humour doesn't connect. And particularly Australian sarcasm, it doesn't connect over there. When you have interpreters and things, I've got myself into a few pickles a few times. I remember once I was standing on the front row of a conference, and they had these people with the flags and the banners. It's not one of the things that I like particularly. And I sarcastically said to the guy next to me, what do you reckon about all these flags? He goes, my wife is the director of the flag ministry. And I says, oh, we haven't got those in Australia, and moved on really quickly. So it's important just to think about but before you speak as well. Yeah, so great to be here tonight. As I mentioned this morning, for those of you who weren't here, I lead a mission agency by the name of World Outreach International. We've been around since 1932. We operate in 70 countries. Our focus is the least reached people groups, and currently we're engaged with 150. And we believe that our ministry is to help facilitate people who've got a heart for the mission field and to do all we can to equip them and mobilize and facilitate them to do what God has put in their heart to do, to reach those who've never heard about Jesus. But importantly, our end goal is not evangelism. Our end goal is discipleship. And for those people to be discipled, to be able to evangelize and disciple their own and other peoples as well. So we don't just go there to evangelize, we go there to live among them, to embody the gospel with a hope to build into them discipleship that they can disciple others as well. And on Monday week, we have our triennial conference in Chiang Mai, when over 300 of our people are all coming together for ministry. And I would really appreciate your prayer, because this is going to be my first summit as the director, and we've got some great ministry coming in, and just believing that God would minister to these people. A lot of these missionaries are on the front line. They don't have a great deal of support, and they need prayer, and they need ministry as well. It says in the American military, for every one person that's on the front line, there are 18 people in support of that one person there. And I think about these missionaries that go out into the field. They leave their comfort, they leave their country, they leave their culture, they leave their language. Why don't we all do all that we can to empower them and support them there? So can I encourage you, when you think about us during the week, pray that God would do something amazing at that summit. I'm believing for that. Okay, I want to turn your attention tonight to a really obscure scripture. And I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about a man called Jonah. And I haven't preached about Jonah. I looked it up today. I haven't preached about him for 17 years. But this guy came upon my heart last night after the meeting with the men. The last time I preached on Jonah, I was doing a series in the church I was pastoring called Dumb and Dumber. So I did this series called Dumb and Dumber, having a look at all the dumb men in Scripture and all the things that we can learn from what they did wrong so that we won't repeat and do what they did and do the right thing. Because we sometimes still do what they did as well. So that was the last time I talked about Jonah. So it was quite new, and I had to refresh it also today. I haven't even proofread the PowerPoints yet, so I'm just hoping they're okay also. But the title of my message tonight is, It's Not Too Late. And before I start the message, you may have heard the story about there's a little girl at school, and her teacher was speaking about large creatures in the ocean. And the little girl said, oh, you mean like Jonah and the whale? And the teacher said, well, it's impossible for a whale to swallow a man and to live inside of that whale for 3.5 nights. Acids in the whale's belly would eat the man away before he would suffocate to death. But unperturbed, the little girl said, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah. And the teacher sarcastically said, well, what if he went to hell? And the little girl said, well, you can ask him. So I want to turn your attention in a moment to Jonah 1 and verse number 2. I think all of us tonight, if we are self-aware, would realize that we all make mistakes. And sometimes it can be a minor mistake, like I've made tonight. And other times it can be a major mistake. And at times we can make very serious mistakes. And sometimes I meet a lot of people who feel that they've gone too far beyond the reach of the grace and the restoring power of God. But what we're going to see in this story tonight is the title of the message, It's Not Too Late. And this message tonight may only be for one person in this place. And I've known at times that the whole message is just aimed at one person. But I want to say to you tonight, from the Lord, it's not too late. No matter what you've said, no matter what you've done, the mistakes that you've made, it is not too late. So let me just give you the background of Jonah. There'll be some points up here. The name Jonah means dove, and he was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. And apart from his book, there's only actually one reference to Jonah in the Word of God, and that's found in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse number 25, where he prophesied to Jeroboam II about the expansion of the kingdom of Israel. Importantly also, he was the only Israelite prophet that was sent to a foreign country, and his book is the only prophetic book where the messenger is more important than the message itself. In fact, when you read his book, the actual prophecy he brings is only one sentence. Out of the whole book, there's only actually one prophecy, which is one sentence, which is found in chapter 3, verse 4, where he prophesied and said, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. That's the sum total of his prophecy. But now to the story itself. In Jonah 1, verse number 1, the Lord spoke to Jonah, and in what we know as verse number 2, it'll be up here, it says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Nineveh, at the time, was the largest city of Assyria. Nineveh is the modern-day Iraqi city of Mosul. A name or a city you may have heard about, and you'll see it up here, that was absolutely decimated by the occupation and the brutality of Islamic State. But that is the place that Jonah was called to. But that's where we come to Jonah's dumb action. Despite the fact that God had spoken to him and told him to go to that town and to call him to repent, verse 3 reads, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Why did Jonah run away from the Lord? We find out a little bit later in this little book. Jonah knew that the Lord was gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he knew that if the people of Nineveh repented of their wickedness, then God would relent from his calamity in forgiveness and mercy. But Jonah wanted destruction. He wanted annihilation, not redemption and salvation. He didn't want God to forgive. He wanted God to punish them and for retribution against them. Jonah wanted to be authenticated as a great prophet whose word came to pass. So instead of doing what God told him to do, he went to the port of Joppa and he boarded a ship headed in a completely different direction. He intended to run away from God to Tarshish, which is located on modern terms on the coast of Lebanon. But verses 4 and 5 say that the Lord sent a hurricane force wind along with a violent, life-threatening storm. And Jonah was on the boat, and the crew, fearing for their lives, began to throw their cargo over to lighten the boat. Meantime, Jonah is down below deck, semi-comatized, as only a man can do, in a deep sleep, oblivious to the impending disaster.
And the captain goes down there and tries to wake him and asks him, how can you possibly sleep when we're in the middle of a storm? And he urged Jonah to call upon his God in case his God was able to help. And in those days, most of the sailors were very superstitious people, so they decided to cast lots to find out who was at fault, what is the reason for this storm. They just assumed that one of them had offended his deity, and the lot fell to Jonah. He was the perpetrator, he was the violator. And with intensity of an interrogation, they asked him, what have you done? Where have you come from? And Jonah told him exactly what had transpired. And as he unfolded the story, the scripture says, the sea got rougher and rougher. And in panic and desperation, the sailors cried out, what should we do for you so that the seas calm down for us? And Jonah told him, if you throw me into the sea, everything will be all right. And naturally, they were apprehensive and unwilling to do this. And so they tried their best to row to land, but the sea grew more and more violent. And reluctantly, they pled their innocence before God and they threw Jonah overboard. And immediately, the raging seas calmed. And the sailors were filled with awe and fear, and so they quickly made sacrifices and vows. But that's where we come to verse number 17. Where it says there, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And before I go on with the story, I just want to look here about a number of lessons that we can learn in our own lives as well, especially if we have not been fully obedient to what God has told us to do, especially if we have been running from what we know to be the Word and the will of God, if we haven't put things right in our own heart that He may have been speaking to us about. The first lesson we learn is this: it is impossible to run from God. The first lesson we learn is it is impossible to run from God. You may run, but we cannot escape Him. We may block our ears, but He's going to keep on speaking. And we can substitute His call for everything else, but we will never be satisfied inside of our heart, because in our heart of hearts we know we're not in that place where God wants us to be. And I love the words of David in my favorite psalm, which is Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12, where he says there, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I go down to the depths, you are there. If I go to the dawn, if I follow the dawn, you are there. If I go to the far side of the sea, you are there. And he goes on and he speaks about, even there, your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. And in Scripture, we see a number of people who tried to run from God. As we heard about before, God found Moses on the far side of the desert. God found Elijah under a juniper tree. God found Saul hiding behind a load of bags. People try and hide from God, but the lesson we learn is there is nowhere we can go to get away from God. God in His mercy, and God in His grace, and God in His kindness reaches out to us where we are and seeks to call us back to do what He's called us to do. I remember when my kids were very small, and now they're 31 and 32 and 25. I remember when my two eldest kids were very small, we were playing hide and seek. And I was in the lounge room, and I began to count down, 10, 9, and I heard them squeal, and I heard them run away, and I knew that they'd gone into our bedroom. And so I began to walk down the corridor, I'm coming, you know, making big footsteps, and I could hear them squeal. And I walked into our bedroom, and there they were with their heads buried under our pillows, but their bodies were completely visible, but their heads were under the pillow. And they were thinking, because they couldn't see me, they thought that I couldn't see them as well. So I snuck up on them, and I was very quiet, and then I just went, I gotcha! You know, of course they screamed. And I think a lot of people are like that with God as well. That if they can't see God, they think that God can't see them as well. If they cover their life with busyness and do this and do that and try and hide here and hide there, that somehow they will get away. But what we learn here tonight, it's impossible to hide from God. And I want to encourage you today, if you've harden your heart, or maybe you've even built up an argument in your mind to justify what's happening, or maybe you know that you've been called to do something but you're running from that. Please, tonight, don't hide from God any longer. And I'll tell you why. Because it's not too late. It is not too late. Number two, a second thing we learn from Jonah is that disobedience to God creates turmoil in our life. If we are disobedient to God, it'll create turmoil in our life. Jonah brought problems upon himself because he disobeyed the Lord. He did not do what God told him to do. God told him, go to Nineveh. And then Jonah said in his own mind, no, because you're going to forgive them and be merciful. I'm going the other way. And he ran away from God. And running from God only brings a very lonely and isolated place. We may be able to fill our lives with activity and substitutes, but ultimately we have an internal emptiness and a turmoil in our heart that begins to corrode our soul because we realize that we've brought many of those problems upon ourselves. So I encourage you today, in the name of Jesus, if you're in the middle of a mess today, maybe it's time to ask, Lord, is there something I haven't done you've asked me to do? Is there disobedience inside of my heart? Because God in his mercy and grace seeks to bring us back. He can deliver us from whatever we are in because it's not too late. And thirdly, a third thing we see from Jonah is that there is no limit to what God can do to get somebody back on track. There is no limit to what God can do to get somebody back on track. Because Jonah is not the first person who has ever run away from God. I would suggest to you, if this word is on my heart tonight, that there are people here who are running from God. People who know what is right, but are not putting things right. People who know what God is calling them to do, but you are resisting God's call in your life. People who maybe have a very clear word about what to do next, but you're holding back on what God is putting inside of your heart to do. And the inevitable and inescapable consequence will be turmoil like a raging storm. And it may not be an external storm, but an internal storm where we feel barren and empty or unfulfilled or ensnared or trapped or swallowed or frustrated by our circumstance. Or maybe, like Jonah, you have received a prophetic word from God and you have a God-given dream and a desire and a gift from him, but you're running from your responsibility. You're not rising up and doing what God has called you to do. And maybe there are many reasons why, but the unmistakable and unshakable bottom line is we are running from God. And I want to say, friends, tonight, God is wanting his people to arise. Maybe God has been challenging you to a new level of prayer. Maybe he's been calling you to be involved in the church. Maybe he's been calling you to go to some of the 90,000 people. Maybe some of the marginalized or the disenfranchised or the hurting is calling you, but you're holding back. I want to encourage you tonight, in the name of Jesus, to realize God has called you, and he wants, like Jonah, for you to do what he's put inside of your heart to do. And we must honestly and humbly ask ourselves tonight, is the turmoil that I'm in at the moment a result of something I brought upon myself by my disobedience? Is there something that I have not aligned with what I know to be the word and the will of God? Or maybe you are saying tonight, is there any way back? Is there any way out of the circumstance that I am in? Have I forfeited what God has called me to do and what God has called me to be? What should we do if we end up like Jonah here in the belly of a fish? Well, it tells us in chapter 2 that Jonah was inside of the fish and he prayed this incredible prayer in verses 2 to 8 of chapter 2 of repentance, where he turned to God. And he speaks there about, here he is, and the engulfing waters have threatened me, the deep has surrounded me, seaweed has wrapped around my head. And he speaks about his circumstance, but basically he repents before God. God hears his prayer. And in chapter 2, verse number 10, it says there, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited, gross word there, Jonah, onto dry land. God commanded the fish, and it vomited him onto dry land. God delivered Jonah from the mess that he had brought upon himself And I want to say loudly here tonight, friends, if God can make a fish vomit Jonah and put him in the right place, he can deliver you from any self-afflicted problem that may have even been caused by your disobedience. God is able in a moment to intervene and turn circumstances around and reposition you and get you to be in the right place to do what he's called you to do. He's not a God who wants to leave you in the belly of a fish to rot away. He wants you to be what he wants you to be. And I'll tell you why. Because it's not too late. Maybe here tonight you feel so far from God. Maybe tonight you feel that your heart has become so hard towards God and your ears have become deaf towards the purposes and the voice of God. And maybe you know that there are some choices that you have made that have brought that upon yourself. I believe this, that if we will turn and repent like Jonah did, and we will yield to him and call upon his name, he will cause the circumstances that are binding us to release us and free us and get us in that right place to position us to do what he has called us to do. And there's one last and final principle I see in the story tonight, and this is a great one for me. Number four, and that is failure does not disqualify you from God's purposes. That failure does not disqualify you from God's purposes. And maybe this is the word of the Lord for some people here tonight. Chapter 3, verse number 1 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." And Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and he went to Nineveh. All I can say about God is thank him that he's merciful. Thank him that he is gracious. How God is a God of the second chance. Maybe you were saying tonight, "Oh, God gave me an opportunity many years ago and I missed it." I want to say again, friends, it's not too late. God is the God of the second chance. God is merciful. And God does not treat us as our sins deserve, but if we will turn, if we will repent, he will restore our lives. Jesus restored Peter after his betrayal and denial, and Peter became instrumental in the outpouring at Pentecost and became the first apostle to go to the Gentiles. God specializes in taking the fragmented pieces of broken and of failed lives and putting them back together again and shining his glory through them. And maybe you feel that you're just a shadow of what you once were, but I want to tell you, friends, Jesus, by his power, by the indwelling of his spirit, can do a work inside of you and raise you up and restore you and fill you and strengthen you and empower you and energize you and send you with the glory of God, because God specializes in using fractured, broken people. He specializes in that. He's the God of the second chance. Perhaps you have disqualified you, but I want you to know tonight, God has not disqualified you. It is not too late. God is the God of the second chance. So I want to urge you tonight to really rise up and do what God has called you to do. Let the church arise. This whole weekend, starting last night with the men as well, I felt there's been a weekend of restoration, where God just wants to take people who just feel discarded and broken and rejected and torn by words and circumstances, and just wants you to know he's with you. He is in you. He is for you. And he wants to raise you up and send you like he did to Jonah. So this big fish has just puked Jonah all over the beach, and the outcome was that Jonah then went to Nineveh and he preached his one sentence prophecy. He had one sentence he had to preach. That's the great thing about it. It doesn't matter how long the sermon is. What matters is what is inspired in the middle of that. And from the king down, everyone repented. Calamity was averted, and the whole town, the whole city turned to the Lord. Now, Jonah wasn't very happy about that, and that's a different sermon altogether, because he wanted to be authenticated as a great, great prophet. But the point here is that when he did what God told him to do, God's purposes were fulfilled through his life. And I just believe that for Kabulchim, for the 90,000 people that live in the area, the answer to what God wants to do there could be sitting in this room right now. But maybe you feel like Jonah, just swallowed up by the circumstance. I want to encourage you to do, as I close tonight, the three things that we've seen in the sermon here tonight that we need to do. Number one, if you have not done what God has told you to do, if you haven't put things right, you know to get right. If you haven't been obedient to Him, then tonight, turn to Him. Repent before Him. He's a merciful God. Ask for His forgiveness and stop running from the Lord. Turn to Him. The second thing we learn is this. Listen. Listen to what God is saying. The word of the Lord came to him a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I gave you. In other words, get back to what I originally called you to do. So tonight, if you feel like Jonah, you're just away from where you should be, listen. Listen for the word of the Lord. He's not going to berate you. He may discipline you, but He's not going to berate you or reject you or discard you. He wants to raise you up and restore you to what God has put inside of your heart to do. And the third thing we see here is obey the Lord. Do what God has put inside of your heart to do. Jonah obeyed the Lord, and he went to Nineveh, and he proclaimed his one-sentence prophecy, and the whole nation turned to the Lord. So tonight, I'm urging you, I'm asking you, on this weekend of restoration, to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm a bit like Jonah. I'm not where I should be. But tonight, I want to realign to get back to that place where, Lord, you can take me and use me and deliver me from my circumstances so I can be that right person in the right place in your purpose and plan, in Jesus' name. Could I ask everyone just to close their eyes in a word of prayer? Maybe this message tonight was just for one person in this place. And I would love to pray for you and with you tonight that you would just know the restoring power of God. But just before I pray, can I ask you, just with every eye closed and everyone in an attitude of prayer, to just think about what's the one thing from this message that I need to apply to my own life? What's the one thing that I need to put into practice in my own life that applies to me in my own heart? Just take a moment. Let the Holy Spirit just search your heart tonight about anything that He wants to deal with to get you back on where He wants you to be in Him. Just take a couple of moments, and then I'll pray for you tonight. So as the Lord searches our heart, He may reveal things about us that perhaps we've suppressed, subdued, and covered over in our heart. Things that are a bit like Jonah. We just have not done what He's called us to do. And tonight I'm asking you, in His name and by His grace, to turn to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry I've been like Jonah. I want to do that thing that You've put in my heart to do. Would you just, in your own heart, just before the Lord, right now, just turn to Him. Ask Him to forgive you, and then just begin to listen again for His voice. Because I really want to pray tonight that God would just see you restored and empowered to everything He's called you to be. Just take a moment, please, as He searches our hearts. Would you mind standing with me, please? Thank you. Just quiet. Thank you. Allow me to pray over you tonight in Jesus' name.
Our Father, we are in your presence. And we welcome the presence of your Holy Spirit here tonight. I thank you that you are a God of grace and a God of kindness. And you do not, Lord, treat us as our sins deserve, but you treat us with love and grace. And I pray for people tonight who can identify with Jonah, who may have, Lord, drifted away from what you've called them to do, or what you put in their heart to do, or, Lord, what you prompted their heart to do. And I pray that, Lord, tonight that there would be a real turning and a restoration, that as you delivered Jonah from the belly of the fish, that, Lord, tonight by your grace you would deliver people from circumstances that, Lord, have been holding them back. And I pray that you would release them and reposition them to do, Lord, what you've put in their hearts to do. I pray, Lord, for people who feel just so broken and discarded, that, Lord, tonight by your grace, that you would put them back together again and strengthen them, Lord, and make them whole, I pray, in the name of Jesus. I commit them to you and pray that, Lord, out of this meeting and from this weekend of restoration would come people who feel whole, who are strong, who are energized, who are mobilized, who are empowered by you, I pray, Lord, to do what you've called this church to do, to shake the rug of Caboolture from the outside. I pray, Lord, your blessing over this church. Lord, I pray over Jed and over Debbie. Lord, and over the leadership team, I pray your blessing in the name of Jesus and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Ben. Thank you.